And now we are joined by the race-winning driver of tonight's Food City Presents Supermarket Heroes 500. That's Brad Keselowski, driver of the number two discount tire Ford for Team Penske. Brad, that was an eventful final few laps, an eventful race, really. Walk us through that finish from your perspective.
Yeah, can you guys hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, just a wild, wild day. One of those days that, you look at and you think of as going back and being a part of Bristol lore for a long time to come. And I'm glad we were able to win it. But, geez, so much beating and banging. Oh, my goodness. We've all been cooped up in our houses too long and came to Bristol and took out some aggression, I guess. I don't know. But early on in the race, everybody was hitting each other, and it carried in all the way to the end. And, some people ran me over. I probably ran some people over, and everybody's mad at everybody going into Atlanta next week. But just a really eventful day for us. We started up front on the pole, led a bunch of laps, lost the lead, and then we made some adjustments to the car and got really good in the second stage. Got the lead, then lost the lead on pit road, and I just could not hit the restarts after that. And I kept falling back. Fell all the way to, I think, eighth or ninth or something like that. And just started to get really frustrated, started to lose the handle on the car. The track kept changing. And then I was pushing really hard and got a pit road penalty. It was just, wow, I am just digging a hole. And with about 40-some to go, I think we were running 14th or 15th, 48, 49 to go. I don't know. Somebody's probably got a stat on that. And we came in, we put left side tires on, came off of pit road in a spot to compete. And I think we came off pit road maybe 12th and just kept cycling forward. They'd drop the green, we'd go five laps, they'd wreck. They'd drop the green and go five laps, they'd wreck. Until next thing I knew, I was restarting fourth. Like, wow, this is perfect. And cleared for third on the restart there, the last restart. And I watched Joey and Chase going at it. And next thing I know, they were wrecking. And here we found ourselves in victory lane. Just really crazy how it all came together. But I'll tell you, I'm super proud to be here and to get a second win in the season. That's, for me, my fifth year with multiple wins in a row, which is really good. And really happy and proud of that, and trying to put ourselves in a position to make a real run at a championship. Hopefully we can do just that. And I feel like we're coming together as a team. You know, this is a new team this year. Same number, same car and all that, but new team. And they're really starting to gel. So I'm very happy for them.
Good deal. We're going to open the floor up for questions. We're going to start with Bob Pockris. Go ahead with your question, Bob.
Brad, you talked about the aggression early, and we saw kind of Chase and Logano have their incident, and Chase kind of taking blame for it. You know, I asked Jimmy about, he made a mistake at Darlington, Kyle Busch made a mistake at Darlington. I mean, is there anything wrong with us seeing you guys make mistakes, or is there a reason for it?
Well, mistakes make for great racing. That's why, when you watch rookies run some of these tracks, it's a lot of fun. I think you look at the lower tier series, they're some of the most fun races to watch because the drivers make a lot of mistakes and that creates a lot of action. I think sometimes you get to the cup level and, whether it's the setup or the driver's experience, you don't see a lot of mistakes. And people missing that the cars are easy to drive, or it's really the opposite. It's just pros. These guys are really good. For whatever reason, whether it's just not having a chance to really work on the cars or practice, or the drivers not getting those experiences, we're seeing more mistakes with this style of racing, the no practice type stuff. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that makes for better racing in a lot of different ways. So I hope we keep it up. And I said earlier this week that I felt like NASCAR had struck gold with these formats, and I stand by that. These are great formats, and we're seeing some of the best racing we've ever seen in NASCAR accordingly. And I'm not just saying that because I'm in victory lane. I think a lot of people would say this was a tremendous race, and I hope they enjoyed it.
And do you think you talk about this team, a potential championship team, do you feel like you need to get your contract situation, whatever way it is, settled sooner than later in order for you guys to do that, or can you keep the two separate?
I mean, I haven't thought of it that way. I haven't put that much thought into anything other than just competing and winning and wanting to be in a spot to compete and win for a long time. And so I don't let it be a distraction, but I, you know, I can't always speak for others, but the experience I've had with the team, they're not either.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Jenna Fryer. Go ahead with your question, Jenna.
Hey, Brad, what do you make of winning two races in the fashion that you have? Is it being in the right place at the right time?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of that. We had good speed today, Jenna. I think maybe the 9 car might have been the fastest car, but only by a little bit. I might have been just as fast as he was. We just got behind, and, you know, I made a couple of mistakes and dug ourselves a little bit of a hole, but I think on equal tires, we were as good or better than anyone else out there, and probably equal to the 9. So it just didn't really play out that way for us to show that in the middle part of the race. In the beginning, it did. And I think if you look at a couple other races this year, I felt like we were probably the second or third best car at Phoenix, and kind of had the opposite of today happen, where all the yellows came against us and bad lanes on restarts and all that kind of stuff. So it's nice to catch some of those breaks. You know, the Coke 600, I don't know if we were as good as the 9. I don't think we were, but I thought we were the second best car again. And, you know, you run like this and you put yourself in position with good cars and running up in the top 5 and allow good things to happen to yourself. Be in position. And I think that's what we're doing really well as a team right now.
You said after the 600, you've lost races a lot of different ways. Have you ever won 2 in a row like this?
Gosh, I can't. Maybe in 18, we won 3 races in a row, and I don't think we were the fastest car in any one of those 3 races, but we put ourselves in position and good things happened to us. And it feels really cool when it goes that way. It feels really bad when it goes against you. So, you know, you just kind of got to ride the roller coaster and enjoy the good parts and try to shrug off the bad parts.
Thanks, Brad.
No problem, Jim.
Our next question will come from Jason Brown. Go ahead, Jason.
Matt, thank you. Brad, congratulations on the win. You touched on your last pit stop there with that 41 to go. Can you take me through what the strategy was? Was that the thinking, put 2 tires on, and if something happens up in front, that you've got a chance of racing past everybody?
Yeah, I think with 41 to go, I was quite honestly just hoping to get a top 10. And once we broke in the top 10, I thought, oh, I got a real shot at top 5. And then next thing I know, we're running 5th, and I think the 11 car got turned around or something happened there. Now we're running 4th. I'm like, oh, now we got the preferred lane on the restart. And then the restart, we clear and get 3rd, and I'm watching Chase and Joe. I'm like, oh, this is not going to be good. It was just such a turn of events. It felt like I was sitting in Vegas and playing poker, and I got all the turns, you know, what they call it, the river and all that. All the turns went my way and went from having a bad hand to having a full house real quick.
Well said. Congrats.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Lee Spencer. Go ahead with your question, Lee.
Congratulations, champ. Was that your call or was that your crew chief's call to take the 2 tires?
Oh, that was Jeremy's. Jeremy called a really good race, and I'm super proud of him and this team, the way they've come together and keep coming together. It's a special group. And I feel like we're all trying to find each other's full potential, and we're just starting to do that. You know, and we were getting real close to that before the pandemic happened and kind of slowed us down, and now we're really pushing each other hard, and that's a very good thing.
A lot of people have given Hendrick, you know, kudos for the way that they've come out of the box, and their teams are all strong, but you feel like Team Penske is absolutely just right there.
We're just a touch behind. You know, I think the mile and a half, so I would say that Hendrick's definitely a little better, but on the short tracks, I think we're really, really closely.
Thank you. Have a great week.
You too.
Our next question will come from Jordan Bianchi. Go ahead with your question, Jordan.
Lee kind of asked my question, but to kind of follow up on that, is the difference this year for Chevrolet the fact that they have a new Camaro and they were able to take that car and redesign it around a rules package that they already have? They know what that rules package is going to be like, and they can kind of tweak it specifically for that.
You know, I couldn't speak to that. I don't know enough details. I mean, certainly it doesn't hurt. I think everybody would admit to that. But, you know, I thought they had a pretty good car before, to be honest with you. And, you know, I know they've done a couple of things and made some really nice upgrades, and it looks like that's probably paying off. But I couldn't tell you which one it is.
Thank you.
No problem, Jordan.
Our next question will come from Jim Utter. Go ahead with your question, Jim.
Hey, Brad. After the race, you talked about how your team had kind of developed into a never give up team. I was just wondering if you could talk about how important a quality that is to have when you want, as the season goes on, and you want to be a legitimate contender for a championship. You talked a little bit earlier about how you guys have been kind of gelling as a team to get to that point. How big of a factor is that?
It's really big. You know, we're probably a little bit in the honeymoon phase, so you know that makes it a lot of fun and easier to do. The key is, how do you keep that? How do you keep that fresh conversation and dialogue going, and keep the positive attitudes going? And you know, I'm thinking through that and trying to be the best I can. And I know they are too, and we're all just really happy for each other's success and there to pick each other up when things aren't going our way, and somebody's having a bad day. And I think that's what great teams do. And this is turning into a great team. I'm super, super proud of them. I'm proud to be a part of it, and I'm driving my butt off. And sometimes I think I might be driving a little bit too hard, but so far it's been paying off.
And a quick question on, but from behind the wheel, could you tell noticeably any difference on the change to the short track rules package at this race?
Oh, without a doubt, the cars are significantly harder to drive, significantly slower, and they're significantly more racy. I think we saw a better race accordingly.
Thanks, Brad.
No problem, Jim.
Our final question for Brad will come from Stephen Conley. Go ahead with your question, Steve.
Brad, you get a week off before heading to Atlanta for the first time since returning. Jimmy was talking earlier about success at California, the way that track is aged to Atlanta. You won at Atlanta last year. Do you think with the success that you guys have had so far, your early run at California, that you've got – you're right there with Hendrick going to Atlanta, and what's your expectations there?
Yeah, I don't know if I have a great answer for that. You know, Atlanta's not like any other mountain house we go to. The cars are so fast at the beginning of the run and so slow at the end of the run. It's such a big delta there. And, you know, it's hard to say who's going to be good, who's not, especially without having a lot of practice and all those things. So, you know, I suspect if I was to take a blind guess that the 9 car and the 88 will be very, very strong and tough to beat. But we're going to do our best to keep them honest.
And with the full week off, do you expect to have more communications with Jeremy than you've had over these last 2 weeks?
I hope so. You know, there's all kinds of Zoom meetings and all that, but there ain't nothing like being face-to-face. And we're still obviously not there. I wish we were, and I hope we get there really soon, you know, to where we can do that and everybody feels safe and comfortable. But it's certainly different. It's a different way of living and communicating.
All right. Thank you, Brad.
No problem.
Well, Brad, congratulations on the win. Go enjoy a day off if you can, and then we'll see you at Atlanta Motor Speedway.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you.